Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamasir Daf Kuv Zayin. We left off on Daf Kuv Vavam Beis. We are at the second Mishnah, the last Mishnah on Daf Kuv Vavam Beis. Today's year is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. So what we're going to talk about today, the Mishnah is going to talk about, if a choker wants to plant something other than it was agreed upon that he should be planting, the agreed upon crop. The deal was he was supposed to plant chitim, and he wants to plant sa'orim, or vice versa. He was supposed to plant tevuah, he wants to plant kitnis, or vice versa. So certainly if he's going to cause more damage to the field, everyone's going to agree that that's a problem. The question is, what if he's going to cause less damage to the field? So that's going to be a machlokas. And the Gemara is going to give two explanations of what would possibly be the problem if he's going to be causing less damage to the field. Then the Gemara is going to raise a stira, whether you can plant beans when you agree to plant tavua. Is that considered to be a more ruinous to the field or less so? Then the Gemara is going to bring more statements that Rabbi Yehuda made to Ravin, because in that context we quote something that Rabbi Yehuda says to Ravin. So we're going to have three other things that Rabbi Yehuda says to Ravin on a variety of different topics. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have five interpretations of the pasuk in, I think, Parashat Eschanan, of the Heser Hashem Imcha Kol Choli, that Hashem will remove Kol Choli. What exactly is that referring to? Five possible interpretations. That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of the wonderful benefits of a hearty breakfast, and the Gemara is then going to discuss at the very end of the daf some advice to people whose job it is to survey, to measure land, and particularly in certain areas where they should be more careful, where they should be less careful. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Kufav Amud Beis, the bottom Mishnah. If a person becomes a choker in the field and the deal was he was supposed to plant barley, he should not plant wheat. However, chitim Yisra'el Nesorim. If the deal was that he was supposed to plant wheat, there's no problem with planting barley, because chitim weaken the karka much more than sa'orim do, and therefore you can always plant sa'orim because it's going to leave the karka in better condition. But you're only allowed to plant wheat if that was agreed upon and the Baal HaKarka knew about that. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says you're not even allowed to plant sa'orim if the agreement was wheat. Even though sa'orim do less damage to the karka, they suck out fewer nutrients from the karka, nevertheless, you're not allowed to do different than the agreed upon crop. Similarly, tavua lo yizrena kitnis. If the deal was to plant tavua, you should not plant beans. Kitnis, but if the deal was to plant beans, yizrena tavua. You could plant tavua because tavua will do less damage than kitnis would. Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Oser. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, even to plant something that will do less damage, you're not allowed to do. So Rav Shmuel Gamliel l'shitaso, Tanakama l'shitaso, that if you're going to be planting something that is worse for the karka than what you had agreed upon, everyone's going to say that's aser. Better for the karka than what you had agreed upon, that's the machlokas, Tanakama and Rav Shmuel Gamliel. But what would be the problem? Why would it be aser if you're doing something that's better for the karka? So Gemara has two interpretations. Number one, Amar Rav Chisa Maitan, Rav Shmuel Gamliel. What's the basis for Rav Shmuel Gamliel? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says about Acharis Hayamim in the Navi Tzefanya that She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla, lo yidabru chazov, lo yimatzi b'fiyam l'shon tarmis, that we're truthful people. The Jewish people are supposed to be truthful people. That's what we aspire to. So if you said you're going to plant tavua, you plant tavua. If you're saying you're going to plant kitnis, you plant kitnis. And you don't do different than what you actually said. So ask the Gemara Meisvei, but I'll ask you a stira, because we learned in a brisa that migvas purim lepurim, that when they do a collection for matanos levyonim for purim, the gabei tzedakah should make sure that it goes dafka for that purpose, that the collection he takes up for purim should go only for purim, and he shouldn't just keep it around in the charity account where it's much easier. You know, a lot of times a lot of money comes in for matanos levyonim, and no one just puts money in a tzedakah account. Sometimes I'll get people will say, oh, there's this need, there's that need. There's no account that just has tons and tons of money. You know, if we go, we do a raise, we reach out to people, then there will be money. But otherwise, there's not going to be any money in the just automatically in the account. But by Purim, you have so much from Purim. How much do I need on Purim? So the Gabbai Tzedakah may have a type chayva to say, you know what, I'll take 10% of what was given for Purim and I'll give that out to Aniyim for Purim, and the rest, there are needs throughout the rest of the year, I'll keep it for that. Not supposed to do that. Ve'in medaktikin b'davar. And you don't have to look whether the Aniyim need all this money on Purim or not, and whether their Purim needs are more than being met already. Ve'in ani rashay likach ritzua l'sandalo. And even when you give the money to the ani, he's not allowed to use that money to buy a new strap for his shoe, because it was given to him for Purim needs, and that's not a Purim need. He's supposed to spend it on a suda. Elam kein hisnim b'maimin anshei ir. Unless there's a tanai b'maimin anshei ir, then he could use it for his shoe straps. Siver Rabbi Yaakov Shomer Mshum Rameir. That's Rabbi Yaakov, the name of the Rameir. Mshum Gamliel Mekel. But Mshum Gamliel says that even if they don't make a tanai b'maimin anshei ir, he could use it to buy a shoe strap. That he's allowed to do, even though it was given l'tzorich Purim. The Miri says any ani that's over aldas balabayis who gives it and uses it for something else is not a gazlan, and he's allowed to do that, because the assumption is a davar muat like that, he's going to buy a shoe strap, no one's going to have any taina on him, meaning really it's meant to be only for Purim needs, but with minor variations, he's not going to, the whoever's giving the money is not going to be upset about that, he's not going to it's not going to bother the person giving the money. We just saw in the Mishnah Brura for those who started the Mishnah Brura Yomi in Hilchos Shabbos, says that when someone gives something to an ani for Shabbos or to anybody for Shabbos, when food is designated for Shabbos, then a person shouldn't say, oh, it was given to me for Shabbos, but I already have enough Shabbos food, so I'll save it just for Sunday dinner. No, if it was given for Shabbos, it was given for the mitzvah, ideally you should use it for the mitzvah. Of course, if you then have leftovers, you can then use it for Sunday, but when it was given for Shabbos, it should be used for Shabbos. That's based on, and the Mishnah Brura makes that connection to this halacha of collections that are taken up for Purim. So that's one explanation of why you're not even allowed to plant something that is less damaging to the karka, because you're supposed to always tell the truth. Second explanation, so the problem with that explanation is what we just said, that it seems to be against this brisa about the collection for Purim, that you're allowed to change it for a shoe strap, that against Rav Chista, understanding of Shimon Gamliel, that a person is makbid, that the other guy shouldn't make any changes whatsoever. So Rabbi says a second interpretation. The reason for Rav Shimon Gamliel is Kidamar is similar to what Rabbi Bar Nachmani said. Damar Mar, Haiman de Nichale de Titbar Areh. If a person wants, that will translate like Rashi says, if a person wants his field to be ruined, to be destroyed, Lizra Shatachiti Vishata Saori, what you should do is plant 1 year wheat and 1 year barley. You should alternate years, and if you do that, you'll really kill your field. Shata Shasi Vishata Erev. Or 1 year you plant it in north south direction, next year you plant the rows east to west. That's going to really destroy the field. So that's why, even if you're doing something that objectively, you're planting something that objectively should cause less damage to the field, it might in fact be more damaging if that's not what this field is accustomed to having. So there's a reason the guy made the deal with you to plant specifically the crop that he had identified. Tosfos and all the other Balia Tosfos, Tosfos Rabbein Peretz and Tosfos Rush, are all bothered by this interpretation of the Gemara, because it seems that that's not the Metzius, that if you plant wheat 1 year and barley the next year, it's actually better for the field, because it's sucking out different nutrients from the karka, and it gives the karka some time to recoup whatever it needed to be able to produce better wheat and better barley. So it seems that it's actually better for the field, not worse for the field. And that's why Tosos, the Bali Atos, explained just the opposite, that it means if you want to make your field strong, then you should alternate years. And maybe the reason the Bala Karka made a deal with you to plant specifically a particular crop is because the previous year he had planted the other crop. So if you're going to now repeat the same crop from the previous year, that's worse for the field. So the exact opposite of how Rashi understood. But let's read the Hemshech of the Gemara as Rashi does. V'lo amaran ela delo karav v'tani. This idea that if you plant something different than you did the previous year, that it's bad for the field, that's only if you didn't plow it again. Avol karav v'tani, but if you plowed it again a second time, less lanba. Then there's no no problem of changing to a min that is in fact better for the field than the other min. So we had also in the Mishnah Tvua lo Yizra'ani Kitnis, that if the agreement was to plant grain, you should not plant beans. So Masin the Rav Yehuda the Ravin, Rav Yehuda taught a brisa to Ravin, or a version of our Mishnah to Ravin, that Tvua Yizra'ani Kitnis, not lo Yizra'ana, yes Yizra'ani Kitnis. So it's a stira, Samalei, Vanantanan, but he said, wait, our Mishnah said Tvua lo Yizra'ani Kitnis. What do you do with the stira? Samalei, lo Kasha, it's not a stira. Halan v'halahu, that which I taught, that you're allowed to change from tevua to kitnis, that's for Bnei Bavel, which the way Rashi understands the Gemara is that in Bavel, since they were in a valley, the water all rushes down to the valley, so the land is very rich with nutrients, and therefore it's better in a valley to have it's not going to be damaging to the karka to have kitnis there, so you could plant kitnis even though the agreement was for tevua. Whereas our Mishnah was talking about in Eretz Yisrael, where it's very mountainous area, and therefore the field dries up very quickly, and we have to be choshesh that the karka is only suitable for tevua and is not suitable for kitnis. It's going to weaken the karka too much, and therefore you're not allowed to be mishana from tevua to kitnis. That is the way Rashi understands it. The Rambam in Hilchos Chirus has the reverse in terms of which is referring to Bnei Bavel, which is referring to Bnei Eretz Yisrael, but this is the way Rashi explains our Gemara. Now, we had said that this was something that Masnilei Rav Yehuda to Ravin. So once we said something that Rav Yehuda taught to Ravin, that he brought this price to Ravin, the Gemara is going to bring Derech Agav other things that Rav Yehuda told to Ravin. So I'm related to Rav Yehuda to Ravin by Rav Nachman. Ravin Achi, my brother Ravin, Hani Tachli de Bekisna, this crest that grows in the rows of flax, and it grows among the flax plants, Ein Ben Mishum Gezel. No one minds if you pull that crest out of their fields. It's not a violation of Gezel, because it destroys the flax, so they'll be appreciative, meaning whatever value that crest has is much less than the damage that it does to the flax that it's growing among. Omdos al gvulin, but if you have this crest that's growing by the borders of the field and not really among the flax, then yesh ben mishum gezel. Then people are going to be makbid because it's not ruining anything and you're just taking their stuff. The imhukshu v'zara, and if it's already the crest has already hardened to the point where it's no longer doing any damage anymore, safil debekisanami yesh ben mishum gezel. Then it would be a violation of stealing even if you took it from among the flax, because whatever damage it was going to do, it already did. So now you're just taking valuable crest from the guy. My time, my daf, sadafs. And the reason is because whatever was going to be lost is lost already. So that was one additional statement that Rav Yehuda said to Ravin. Another additional statement, normally Rav Yehuda to Ravin by Rav Nachman. Ravin Achi, my brother Ravin, Hani Dili Dilach. There are trees that grow in my field, and the payros of those trees will belong to you, because my field is so close to your field that the roots of my trees that are right near your field will really go into your field and are really being nourished from your field, and therefore you're entitled to the fruits. V'dilach, and there are some trees that are growing in your field that are dili, where the fruits belong to me, because your tree's roots are going into my field and they're being nourished from my field, so I'm entitled to those perus. Nog b'nei mitzra, and people who own two fields that are close to the border, ilan nota lekan, lekan and nota lekan, lekan. Their minig is that when the roots go in one direction, so the perus belong to the owner of that field. When the roots go in the other direction, the peros belong to the owner of that field. The itmar, because we had learned, ilan omer al meitzar, if you have a tree that's on a border between two fields, amar rav, so rav had taught us that anota lekan, lekan, that when the roots are nota to one of those fields, the peros of that tree belong to the owners of that field. Vanota lekan, lekan, and when the roots go toward the other field, the peros belong to the person, to the owner of that other field. Shmuel Amar Cholkin, and Shmuel says, no, if the tree is right on the border, even though the roots are all headed into one person's field, the two Balei Asada split the peros. This is all how Rashi learns the Gemara, that Nota Lekan, Kan is referring to the roots, and it's based on where the roots are getting the nourishment from. That's where the peros are going to go in Rav's view. Tosos, however, says, nah, that's not what it means. It means the opposite. It's not talking about the roots going in one direction. It's talking about the branches going in one direction. That if the branches lean over into one field, so that's the field. That's where Rav is saying that the balasada where the branches are going to be is entitled to the peros. But again, let's stick with Rashi for the hemshech of this Gemara. So the Gemara challenges Rav. So again, Rav had said that wherever the roots are, that's where the nourishment's coming from, and therefore that's the person who's going to be entitled to the peros of that tree. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Ilan Omer al Meitzar Yachloku. We have a brisa that says exactly like Shmuel that they split the peros. So Tiyufta de Rav, it's a Tiyufta on Rav. Rav said that no, you look where the roots are. So Tirgum Shmuel Elibet de Rav. The integrity of Shmuel. Shmuel was Matargim, meaning Shmuel answered up for Rav, even though he disagreed. He could have just said, okay, that price is on my side. Let Rav tell me to answer for Rav. But Shmuel answered up for Rav, that it's talking, that price could be talking about that the tree fills the entire border between the two fields, and therefore the roots are going in both directions. So that's what the Bryce is saying. That's why they would split the peros, because the roots are not going only in one direction. They're being nourished. It's getting nourishment. The tree's getting nourishment from both fields. Well, if it's getting nourishment from both fields, I mean, obviously they're going to split the peros. Why would you think otherwise? Meaning, is the Bryce really telling me a chiddush in such a case? So it says, well, tzricha titali tunei lechad gisa. Now the chiddush is that even though the roots are equal in both fields, all of the peros and the branches where the peros are growing are leaning to one side. So the brises mechadish, don't look at that. Look at where the roots are, and that's how you decide how you're going to divide the peros. So it says, Marvakati Madmemra. Still, why does the brisa have to say this? It's a davar pashut that they split, regardless of where the branches are, because we know that it really all depends on the roots. Sansugmarno mal de tema, one might have thought, to Amarle Plogachi, that the balasada that has the peros in it and the branches in it could say, let's split the tree this way, meaning along the length of the border between our fields, and therefore all the peros will belong to me. So Kamash Milan, that's why the Bryce is telling me to Amarle, that the balas, the owner of the other field can say, my chaz is to plak tachi. Why would you divide the tree that way along the length of the border in a way that all the peros are going to be yours? Plogachi, let's divide it along the width of the border so that the peros will belong to both of us and we'll split it between the two of us. And that's the chiddush of the Braisa, that they would split it even though all the peros are actually physically located or hovering over the ground of one person's field. Now we're on to the third additional statement that Rav Yehuda said to Ravin. Amalei Rav Yehuda the Ravin Bar of Nachman, Ravin Achi, lo tazmin ara desmicha lemasa, don't buy land that's right near the city where you plan on planting that land, because everyone in the city is going to see what's going on. Everyone's going to be in your business. Everyone's going to know exactly how much success your property is having, and that's going to be an ayin hara. You don't want people to know exactly what your success is. That it's improper for a person to stand right near his friend's field while the grain is fully grown in the field. He sees all of his success. It's like posting on your status, what's the balances of all your bank accounts. That you don't do that. You don't just put it there for everybody to see how much money you have, how successful you are. No, it's an ayin hara. So Gemara asks, Eini, is that really so? Vashkechinu Rabbi Abba l'talmidei d'Rav. But didn't we learn that one time Rabbi Abba met the talmidim of Rav and Amaluhu? He said to them, "My Amar Rav bani Krai." How did Rav teach up the following psukim? Baruch ata bi'ir uvaruch ata basode. Baruch ata bivoecha uvaruch ata bitzeisecha. Right before the tochecha, the brachos. Now, what is this referring to? Va'amrulei, and the Talmidei Rav said to Rabbi Abba, oh, I'll tell you how Rav said shir on those psukim. This is what he said. Hachi amar Rav. Baruch ata bi'ir means she beischa samuch lebeis haknesses. That it's really wonderful to have a house that's right near the beis haknesses. Maral points out what's so wonderful about that. That you're in such close proximity to the Shechina. And we assume that there's a sense of Ashras HaShechina in the Beis HaKnesses, so you get to live next door to the Shechina. That's a really wonderful thing. Baruch HaTabasad means krovim li'ir. Baruch Atah B'Sada means that you should try to keep all your properties, all your investments near the city, so you don't have to schlep your payrolls all the way from wherever they are, from wherever your fields are, all the way back home. So that's the part that we're focused on, right? That apparently it's a good thing to have your fields right near the city. Baruch Atah B'Vuecha means shel timsa ishtecha safek nida. That Baruch Atah B'Vuecha means that b'shas b'yaschem in aderech. That when you come back from a trip, you shouldn't have the challenge of finding your wife to be a safek nida. So Rashi over here writes, and certainly that you shouldn't find her to be a vadai nida. That would be even worse than a safek nida. Rashi in Sanhedrin says, no, it's not worse to be a vadai nida. A vadai nida, you know she's a nida. You're not going to have a yetzer hara as much because you know what it is. Safek nida, you'll say, well, maybe she's not really a nida, and therefore it's much more likely to lead to a michshal. The Tosfos Beit Peretz says also will cause you less tsar. I mean, even if you're not going to be nichshal, but in the back of your mind you're thinking, I don't even know if this is really a problem. So it causes a person more tsar to refrain from being with his wife in such a situation. Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, Shiutzetzei Me'echa Kamoscha. Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha is a bracha that whatever blessings you have in your life, that your children will have those same blessings, whether it be in Torah, whether it be in Osher, in Kavod, all the good things we have in our life, that it's a bracha that the children should have the same. V'amr Lehu, and Rabbi Abba said to the Talmidim of Rav, Rabbi Yochanan lo amar hachi. Rabbi Yochanan didn't darshan the psukim the same way. Ella, the way he darshan the psukim was, Baruch Atah Be'ir She'e Beis HaKisei Samach L'Shulchanecha, that you should have a Beis HaKisei readily accessible not far from your home. The Gemara Bracha says that a person should be bodik himself prior to eating and after eating. I mean, you should see if he has to go to the bathroom, and he should be able, and the Gemara says that if a person has to go to the bathroom and holds it in for too long, it's extremely unhealthy. So it's saying a health issue, that if you have a Beis HaKisei accessible, so that's a big bracha that for a person to have. Aval Beis HaKnesses low. But Rabbi Yochanan specifically said it's not great to live right near a Beis HaKnesses. Rabbi Yochanan Tameh, and this is Rabbi Yochanan Shitaso, because in Masecha Sota, Rabbi Yochanan says, the Amar Schar Psios Yesh, that there is schar for every step you take to go to the Beis HaKnesses. So if you have a little bit of a longer walk, you get greater schar for that walk to shul. So why would you want to live right next door to the shul? You get many fewer schar psios. The context of Rabbi Yochanan's original statement about schar psios was Gemara in Sota, that there was an almana that would daven in Rabbi Yochanan's Beis Medrash, and he asked her, don't you have a Beis HaKnesses that's closer to you that you could daven in? Why do you schlep all this way? So she said to him, V'chi ein li schar psiosai, because she is Beis HaKnesses v'shukhansi, and v'ani ba'al le'Beis Medrashcha hamruch k'yosa k'dei l'spalel. Don't I get schar psios? And I'd rather have that, so I go to the more distant location to daven. And so too, by every mitzvah, a person is matriach himself more for that mitzvah. Rashi points out in Sota over there, the more one is matriach himself for the mitzvah, the greater schar one gets for the mitzvah. That's not why you do it. I mean, a person doesn't do mitzvahs k'dei l'kabel schar, but it just, the more investment a person puts in the mitzvah, whether it be time, whether it be energy, whether it be money, whatever a person puts into it, the more he's going to get out of the mitzvah. So if a person is going to schlep a greater distance in order to be able to daven, be moser nefesh a little bit more in order to be able to daven, that tefillah is going to be more meaningful to the person, and therefore it's not so great to live right next to the shul. Yes, you're in proximity of the Shekhinah, but you're losing out on all of those schar psios. And Rabbi Yochanan also explained, Baruch Atah B'Sada means, not that your nechasim should be close to you, but your nechasecha mishulashin, that you should have a diversified portfolio of nechasim. Shlish b'tvua, shlish b'zesim, shlish b'gefanim, that you have, if you have different properties where you grow things, don't grow only one crop, because if that crop, you have a bad year, then that's it, you'll be totally wiped out. But if you have one third in grain, one third in olive trees, one third in grapevines, so then even if one of them is bad that year, you'll be able to make up for it with the others. Baruch Atah B'Vuecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, what's that referring to? That's they go together. It's not two separate things. It's Sheitei Yitzi Ascha Min HaOlam Ki Biyascha Li'Olam. Ma Biyascha Li'Olam B'Lochet, that the way you leave the world should be the very same way you came into the world. That just like you came into the world without any averos, when you leave the world, you should leave the world without any averos. This is a famous line of Gemara that the Rashash made famous, because the Rashash has a comment over here, but Metzia Daf Kuv Zayin, probably one of the most well-known Rashash in Shas, where the Rashash says, Mikan Tshuva Lebalea Gilgulim, that this is a raya, that there's no such thing as Gilgul. That people say that there's a Gilgul Neshama, that Neshama didn't do something right in a past lifetime, and therefore it's got to come back in this lifetime to make up for all its averos and its shortcomings. Beferish Gemara, that a person comes into this world below Chet. How can the Gemara assume a person comes into the world below Chet if there's Gilgulim? Elamai, there's no such thing as a Gilgul, and every Neshama is a brand new Neshama. Suffice it to say, the reason that's a famous Rashash is because it's a very controversial Rashash. Not everyone is so happy about that. The Arizal certainly believed in Gilgulim. The Gra certainly believed in Gilgulim. He explained the whole Sefer Yonah based on Gilgulim. There's a lot there. In fact, the Rav Sadikon is one of the only early sources that Beferish rejects the concept of Gilgulim, but many of the others do accept the concept of Gilgulim. What do they do with our Gemara? So they say that when it says Biaskul Yom Below Chet, it means the first time the Neshama came into the world, it came in below Chet. But if it's if it's coming back a second time, so then maybe it is with Chet. Or it could be that below Chet doesn't mean that there's no that there's no past history of Chet. It means that on this Gilgul he has no Chet yet at the time that he's born. But it could be that he's that this neshama only came into the world because of Chet. L'chida writes in Shema Gedolim, I used to not believe in Gilgul till I saw a Maisa that happened where there was a 6-month-old baby that was sick, and they called the local rabbi to say some psukim with him as he was dying, and that's what they typically do. And all of a sudden, the baby never spoke a word in his life. He opens his eyes and says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and Yatzah Neshama Sal Be'Echad. Obviously, that was a Gilgul, and he had to be Mesakin Kabbal Sal Malach Shemayim. And once I saw that, then I know that that there's such a thing as Gilgul. Bottom line is, though, whether there is or isn't, it doesn't make you not pikoros, to say one way of it. Meaning, it's not an Ikar Amunah. So it seems that the majority assume that there is, but there were great people in our history who thought that maybe there isn't. So if you don't believe in Gilgulim, it doesn't mean that you may be correct, you may be incorrect, more likely incorrect based on the overwhelming majority, but it doesn't make a person an apikoros to not believe in Gilgulim. Anyway, but the point of bringing this Rav and Rabbi Yochanan and how they dash on the psukim is that apparently Rav thinks it's much better to have your fields closer to the city, so that you won't have to schlep your fruits too far. But we just said previously that you shouldn't have your fields closer to the city, because it's going to be ayin hara. Everyone's going to be seeing all of your success, and that's not good. So says Mar lo kasha. It's not a stira. Both of the Baal Meimra was Rav in both instances. So the Gemara says it's not a stira in Rav. It depends if you have a nice fence around your property. So if you have a nice fence around your property where no one can see what's going on behind that fence, so then you can have the nicest property in the world with all the success in the world. No one's going to see it, and it's going to be perfectly fine. And it's better to be closer to the city so that you won't have to schlep your perus too far. But if you leave it wide open for the whole world to see, so that's not good. That's where it's going to be the ayin hara, and that's not going to be beneficial to a person. So now, once we're on the topic of Ayin Hara, the Gemara is going to bring five interpretations of a Heser Hashem Imcha Kol Choli, because the first of those interpretations relates to Ayin Hara. But it's really, so says the Gemara, the Heser Hashem Imcha Kol Choli. The Pasuk says that in the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gives to Klal Yisrael, if they observe the Torah, that Hashem is going to remove Kol Choli, that any illness. So what's that a reference to? So Amar Rav, Zu Ayin. That's a reference to Ayin Hara, that a person looks askance at someone else that causes all sorts of illnesses. And this is Rav L'Tameh, this is Rav L'Shitaso, because Rav thought that the root of many of the problems that people suffer from is Ayin Hara. The Rav Saluk L'Bei Kivri, because one time Rav went to a Beis HaKvaros, Ovid Mai David, and he did whatever he does there. Meaning he said whatever lachash he needs to say next to each of the Kvarim time in order to figure out what exactly was the cause of death for each of the niftarim in the Beis HaKvaros. And Omar, he came out saying that from every 100 people that are dead, Tisha Metisha Ba'ein Ra, 99 out of 100 die from Ayin Hara, Ve'echad B'derech Eretz, and only one of natural causes. Everything else Ayin Hara. So Ayin Hara ultimately comes for everybody, and that's why Rav was so nervous about Ayin Hara. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no, that's not what the pasuk means. Ve'esu Hashem Umcha Kol Choli, Zeh HaRuach. It means when a ruach blows on a person. Shmuel the Tamei, the Shmuel the Shitasau, Damar Shmuel Hakol Beruach. Shmuel says all illnesses come because of winds that blow. Some people, a certain type of wind will harm them. Others a different type. At different time it will harm them. Others at other times. So the Shmuel, so ask the Gemara, according to Shmuel, how could it be that everything comes because of ruach? Hayika Aruge Malchus. You're going to say that the Aruge Malchus who are hanged or who are beheaded, that it's because of the ruach that they died? Might it be the stab wounds that they died from and not the ruach? How can you say that ruach kills everyone? So it says Gemara, Hanachnami Ilav Zika Avadu Sama. Who says that a stab wound has to kill a person? Maybe they should be able to heal. So maybe if it were not for the ruach, so there would be a therapy that you could give them, v'chayi, and they would be able to live. It's only because of ruach that they're not able to live. Meaning what Shmuel is probably referring to is exposure to the atmosphere where things can get infected, and it could cause much more damage. Rabbi Chanina Amar Zutzina, that when we say Ve'esa Hashem Umcha Kol Choli is a reference to very cold weather. Amar Rabbi Chanina Kol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinum Pachim. Every pain and illness that a person has is a Gzeira Shemayim, except for that which comes about because of cold. Shneimer Tzinum Pachim Darachike Shomer Nafsho Yirchak Mehem. That a person who's careful about his health will know how to protect himself from the cold. You know, you keep wearing more and more layers. That's not Bidei Shemayim, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it cold, but you have the capacity to protect yourself from that illness. So Kol Choli is the illnesses that we bring upon ourselves by not dressing properly in the wintertime and by not protecting ourselves from the elements. A fourth interpretation, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinin Omer, Zot Soa. It's a reference to the mucus that comes out of a person's body, from his nose, from his ears. Damar Tsoa Sachotam Tsoa Sozen Ruban Kasha. When there's a lot of it, it's bad for the body. Umiyutan Yafa. But if there's a little bit of it, that's good for the body. So Ve'esu Hashem Umcha Kol Choli means the machla that comes from something that essentially is a bracha, but when you have too much of it, it could be a machla. Rabbi Lazar Amar, the fifth and final interpretation, Zo Mara. That's a reference to the Mara of a person's body. What's Mara? What's it in English? Gallbladder. So the gall or the blood, whatever comes out of the gallbladder, whatever. The bile, that's what it is. That's what I was looking for. So Tanya Nami Hachi. So we have a brisa that says just like this. Machla zo mara. Lama nikra shema machla. Why is it called a machla? Why is the bile called machla? Shehi machla kol gufo shaladam. Because if it spreads beyond where it's supposed to go, it can cause terrible harm to the rest of a person's body. Machla sheshmonu mishlosha chaloim tluyin bimara. There are 83 different illnesses that can be caused by the bile from the gallbladder. V'kulon pashach. And all of them, if you eat a good breakfast, eat a little bread in the morning and some water, and you drink some water, that will be mevatel all of these illnesses. From Rashi, it's mashma that wine is even better than water. The Marsha says mehechi tesi, meaning probably when it says water, it means water. That water is healthy in the morning. Probably not the breakfast of champions to have wine in the morning. Okay, so once we mention the benefit, once we mention that benefit of breakfast, that breakfast can benefit a person in that it will enable them to overcome the illnesses that come about as a result of the bile that comes from the gallbladder. So Tanur Rabbanan will say other things about breakfast. There are 13 things, 13 things that were stated about the greatness or the benefits of having pas shachris. Number one is matzelis menachama. It saves you from damage from overheating. Uminatzina. Second is from cold. Uminazikin, and also from winds and things like that can cause a person damage. Fourth, uminamazikin, from demons and things like that. Fifth, umechkimas pesi. If a person's foolish, it will make him smarter. Sixth is v'zocha b'din. If he has a din Torah with someone else, so since he's more more of his daitom yushabas alav. He has more of a focused mind because he's not hungry. He'll be able to say the right taina, so that he'll be able to win the din Torah. Seventh is lilmo Torah. It will be better for learning Torah if a person is not hungry. And the eighth is lilamed. You'll be a more effective teacher. When people are hungry, they're short tempered and they don't have the patience. And to be a teacher, you have to have extreme patience. A lot of times the talmidim are listening the first time they're listening, and they don't chap, and so you have to have a lot of patience. Number nine, dvar v'nishmayin, that people are going to listen to him because he's going to be probably also because he's being more patient and understanding, and he's not going to be curt and quick with people, so people will listen to what he has to say. Number ten, v'talmud miskayim biyadam, that he'll be able to hold on to his learning. 11, ve'in besaro malahevel, that he's not going to sweat too much. Number 12 is v'nizkak li'ishto, that if he has taivos, since he ate bread in the morning and he's satisfied, he'll be with his wife, and because he'll be with his wife, he's not going to then have taivos for other women. Number 13, vareges kina shebnei me'ayim, it kills whatever worms are in a person's intestines. V'yeshomrim, and some add a 14th, that af motzias akino machnas sa'ava, that it will take away jealousy from a person's heart and put instead love into a person's heart. So Amar le Rabba le Rava Bar Mari Mina Mil Sadam Rienshi, where do we know the following to be true? That expression that people say, that shitin rihiti rohut v'lomatu l'gavra d'mitzafra karach, that you could have 60 people chasing a guy, they'll never catch up to a guy who had a good breakfast, meaning he'll be one step ahead of everybody else. Vam rabbanan, and what's the makar for that which the Chazal tell us? Hashkem v'achol, get up early and have some pas shachris b'kayitz mipnei achama in the summertime to protect you from damage that could be done from the sun. In the wintertime to protect you from damage that could be done from the cold. So Rava Bar Mari said to Rabba, the source is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, the pasuk describing the Gula Asida. When everyone comes back from Galus, it says Lo Yiravu v'lo Yitzma'u v'lo Yakim Shere v'Shemesh. Lo Yakim Shere v'Shemesh, Kivan. It's saying the reason why the Sher V'Shemesh is not going to harm us, that the elements aren't going to harm us, is because we're not going to be hungry or thirsty. It's because we're careful to have Pas Shachris. Samalei Rabba said to Rav Bar Mari, At Amit Li Mehasam, that's the makar you're bringing me for this idea. Va'ana Amina Lach Mehacha. But I'll tell you that I learned it from somewhere else, not from Paskin Shayo, from Paskin Chumish. Pasuk says, "Va'avatem Hashem Elokeichem uveirach eslach mechaves meimecha," and the pasuk continues, "Vasirosi machla mikirbecha." So we darshan, "Va'avatem Hashem Elokeichem zo kriyashma tefila." That first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, you say kriyashma, you daven. That's number one on the list. That's the first order of business. Uveirach eslach mechaves meimecha zo pasmelch v'kitun shemaim. Then breakfast. Right, the Gemara in Brachos Darshan says Sochel al Adam means that you're not allowed to eat before you mespalel al dimchem, before you mespalel for your dam. So first the person has to daven, and only then a person eats. Okay, so there are chasidim that dafka do the other way, that dafka eat before davening, because the avodas hatfila involves so much passion and so much energy that they wouldn't have the energy to daven otherwise. But the ikar adin is that you're supposed to daven before you eat. Armle reviewed the Rav Adam Meshulcha'a. Rav Yehuda said to Rav Adam, who was a land surveyor, his job was that he would measure karkaos, lo tezazel b'mishichasa, that you shouldn't be mezalzel in being careful to measure things accurately. To kolporto porto chazi l'kurkuma rishka, because every little bit of land could have the most expensive product that's planted there. So whatever you're costing a person, it could be significant. Armle reviewed the Rav Adam Meshulcha'a. Rav Yehuda said to Rav Adam, Arba amos ta'anigra, the four amos that the people who own fields separate from the amos hamayim that brings water to the fields that they leave unplanted, zalzel buhu. You're allowed to be mezalzel in how to measure that. You don't have to measure that so generously. Da'anahara, and the four amos that people distance from the river and they leave unplanted, lo tim shechenu klal. Don't measure that at all, just estimate that. So the Gemara explains why. Rav Yehuda l'tameh, this is Rav Yehuda l'shitaso, Dam Rav Yehuda. arba amos tanigra libnei anigra. The four amos that are the edge of the amas hamayim belong to the people who own the fields around it, and therefore, if you make it a little smaller, you're only going to be mazik yechidim, and they'll be mochel you. Tanahara dukuli alma. But the four amos around the riverbank, that belongs to everybody. And if you measure it smaller than it is, so you're being mazik the rabbin, and no one's going to be mochel you, because there's no one to be mochel you. It's the whole rabbin that you're being mazik. So there's no single person that can be mochel you. So don't measure it at all. Just leave it by ayin yafa. Estimate generously so that you're not mazik the rabbin in such a case. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Machriz Rabbi Ami. Everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.